Let's take God's word this evening and let's go to Luke chapter number 8. Now, I've done this from time to time where I have preached something in the morning and I have continued the message in the evening. And that's somewhat what I want to do. And God stirred my heart this morning about when God changes your name. And the Lord is in the name changing business, that's for sure. But tonight, I want to ask you a question. What does it take to get a man at the feet of Jesus Christ? What does it take? Well, tonight, we touched on this morning, about how the woman with the issue of blood was found at his feet. But I want to show you a few other people in Luke chapter 8, where people continue to fall down at Jesus' feet. And may I say to you, the only place of blessing and the place of peace and the place where God can use you is found at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's the only place where we must be. But may I remind all of us that it is against your nature and against my nature to be found at His feet. To be found at His feet signifies surrender. It signifies submission. It signifies yielding ourselves to Jesus Christ. And may the Lord help us. You know, my heart is full today because I came back from camp. And I'll tell you something. I do not like to be gone from here. But it does something for your pastor to go and get to preach to kids. And 175 juniors, man, they were everywhere, you know. And boy, it was so funny. They were just energy, you know, energy abounding, you know. I mean, just like everything. But they listened so well to God's word and the preaching of God's word. And I mean, we're talking fourth, fifth, and sixth graders that would let me preach to them 45 minutes and just listen and take it in. And they would take notes in their journals and all of that. And it was just amazing. And you know, there was a little boy came up to me, and he came up to me and he said this to me. He said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Well, I'm Pastor Samples." And he said, "Do you know what my name is?" I said, "No, what's your name?" He was just a tiny little guy. He said, "My first name is Huck." Now, that's a good name in Tennessee, Huck, you know. And I said, "Well, how you doing, Huck?" And I thought that was kind of cool, you know. And then he said, "You know what my last name is?" I said, "No." He said, "It's Samples." I said, "Huck, maybe we're related somehow." And he got this big old grin, and we're not related, but it was just neat. And you know something, kids that were just tender. And on the last night, Thursday night is a big night because that's the night when I preach on surrender, giving your life to Jesus Christ. And that night I preached on let God write your story. And, you know, those young kids, there they are, and they're young, and they're tender. And can you imagine what the story of their life would be if they would let God write the story of their life? How many wish you, when you were in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, had gotten saved and yielded yourself to the Lord? Boy, think of that, you know? And all of us are on a different journey, and all of us, we have different circumstances in our life and all of that. But when I think about those little children, I think, may God help them, that they will continue to follow Jesus Christ. But brethren, it's not just for the little children, it's for all of us. The rest of your life, we must be found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Sitting and listening to Him. That's when we read His Word. I read something today by A.W. Tozer. He said this. He said, "It is a dangerous place to be when you are too busy to wait on God. A dangerous place to be when you are too busy to wait on God." And I'm convicted when I even say that, you know. We're all busy, are we not? We have busy lives, busy schedules, busy. But it's dangerous if we are too busy to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now tonight, go with me on a journey and let's look at stories. We're going to look at story after story in the same chapter of people that are found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter number 8. And I want us to begin, if you would please, and there's so much here that I could read to you, but let's just begin. Luke chapter number 8, And let's start in verse number 26. Luke 8 and verse number 26. The Bible says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." That's not a guy you want for a next door neighbor, I can tell you that, all right? Verse number 28. "When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.'" Now we understand that it was the demons speaking through this man. Think of that. Verse 29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed." Would you look at this next little phrase? "Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed." Now, before we read on here, here is a man. Think of this man. In fact, the Bible tells us that out of this man were demons. In fact, God uses the word, what was the name? Legion. Hundreds, maybe a thousand of these demons that had entered to this man. Think of what this man looked like. Think of the scars, the burns upon his body. Think, in fact, the Bible says he literally had supernatural strength. They would bind him and he could break them. He was empowered by the devil. And think of this. When Jesus came, those demons spoke to him. They said, "Don't send us into the deep." They were saying, "Don't send us into the pit of hell yet." They knew who Jesus Christ was. And the Lord Jesus touched this man and dealt with him. The man was saved. And when the town came back to see what had happened, they found the man. He was clothed. He was in his right mind. And he was sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know what he was doing? He was saying, "Lord, teach me. Lord, I want you. I just want to be near you. You're the one who saved me and changed my life." He was found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. We read on here and notice what the Bible says in verse number 37. "Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee.' And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him." That man became a preacher in a sense. But think of this. That man, he wanted to be with Jesus. He didn't want to go anywhere else. He said, "Jesus, I'm going to follow you now." And Jesus said, "No, you go back to your own city. There are people that you can witness to and win that no one else could ever win," because that man had been found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. All right, now let's look at the next story. This is a continuation. Verse number 40. "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now, when we go to the next verse, you almost think, well, this doesn't seem to make sense. We are listening to a story, but now there's another story, but it's not a separate story. It is a story within a story. Verse number 43, and a woman having an issue of blood, how long was it? 12 years. How old was the little girl? 12. The Bible goes on to say, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied Peter, and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody had touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and look what it says, and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him. Now the story goes back to Jairus. And Jairus has come to Jesus. And Jairus has said, Jesus, if you don't come and heal my daughter, she's going to die. Think of that little girl. The apple of his eye, no doubt. Cute little pigtailed little girl, no doubt. Probably had freckles on her face. Boy, she was cute and precious to him. Precious to Jairus. And he comes and he falls down at Jesus' feet. And he says, Jesus, please come. And Jesus is on his way. He's on his way to Jairus' house. But then there's an interruption. A divine interruption. From a woman that we talked about this morning with the issue of blood. Think of this. Think of this thought just for a moment. The woman for 12 years lived in separation and in darkness, while the same 12 years Jairus lived in the sunshine with this beautiful little girl. You know what? Sometimes God allows divine interruptions in our lives to help us to see while we have been living in the light, others have been living in the darkness. And that's exactly the truth here that we see. So here is Jairus. He's watching all of this happen. And Jesus is kind of postponed. He's kind of interrupted because the woman has made her way and touched the hem of his garment. She believes in him. She puts her faith in Jesus, knowing that he has power to heal and to save her. And she's healed. And Jesus stops. And we know the story. Who touched me? And the woman comes falling down at Jesus' feet. And Jairus is listening and watching all of this. Then this happens. Let's read on. Luke chapter 8. And the Bible says this, verse number 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. May I stop and say this to you? Brethren, all of us have a mark where we think God is able to do things. It's like a line, imaginary line that we have drawn to where we think, God, you're able to do this, but if this goes beyond this, there's no hope. And that's exactly where this man had been. He came to Jairus and said, hey, if you'd have got Jesus in time, she would have made it. But now it's too late. She's dead. Don't trouble him anymore. Might as well just tell him to stay where he's at because it's hopeless now. And brethren, there are times in your life and in my life when God allows what seems to be a tragedy become hopeless so that we will become people sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now his daughter's dead. What is Jairus going to do? We read on here. The Bible says in verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, and he hears all, He answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. Can you imagine that? Knowing that she was dead. Verse 54, and he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway and commanded to give her meat. We know she was fine because she was hungry, you know. And 12-year-old children are always hungry. We know that. Verse 56, and her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now, here is what I find. Chapter 8 of Luke is a wonderful chapter in God's Word. I find the maniac at Gadara. Now, here's a man that, I mean, most of his life he has lived being demon-possessed. You talk about a wicked, godless man. A man that had no friends. No doubt his family had forsaken him. I mean, this man was a menace to society. They tried to chain him. No doubt he came into town and wreaked havoc upon the town. But when he came in contact with Jesus Christ, Jesus saved him and changed the man's life. And he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. The next scene is a woman, or the next scene is a man by the name of Jairus. He loves his daughter. He's got to get to Jesus Christ. He believes that Jesus is able to save his daughter and to heal his daughter. And he falls down at Jesus' feet and he begs Jesus to come. And Jesus is coming. The next scene is the woman with the issue of blood for 12 long years. According to the ceremonial law of Moses, the woman had to be an outcast if she had an issue of blood. She could have no contact with her family. She could not be a part of society. I mean, this woman, in fact, the Bible says she spent all her living upon physicians. Everything she had for 12 years, the woman was trying to find an answer to this issue of blood. And what did she do? She fell down at Jesus' feet. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something where I want to be tonight. I want to be found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. That solves all the questions in life. It solves all the problems in life. When we are sitting at His feet, as I said, it is a place of submission. It is a place of silence. It is a place that we are listening to God and we are coming to Him and we are saying, "Lord, You teach me." And you know, sometimes I'm afraid we want to tell God what to do. Have you ever prayed before and really in your praying, it's nothing but selfish praying? And you're praying for Your will to be done and Your will to be accomplished. And by the way, I'm thankful that God hasn't answered some of my prayers. I'm thankful that God didn't answer some things that I prayed for. And by the way, the Lord knows our hearts and He knows what we really have need of. And so many times God does not answer our prayers the way we want Him to, because He is going to do something greater. You see, brethren, tonight, God wants every man, every woman, every boy and girl and every teenager to be found day by day sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, listening to His direction, wanting His guidance, wanting His will to be done in your life, looking to Him by faith, trusting in Him by faith. What does it take to get a man at the feet of Jesus? Number one, sometimes it takes a shocking tragedy. It is amazing to me how often the Lord uses trials to bring us to His feet. I know a man right now. His name is Bob. And Bob was a man that did not know Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was a man that grew up in church, but he was lost and without Christ. And through a car accident, now years ago, how many remembers when cars did not have seat belts? Would you raise your hand? Yeah. Man, I'll tell you, as a kid, I crawled all over the car, you know? I did, man. I got in the back seat, and we had an old station wagon. Anybody ever here have an old station wagon before? Man, those things were tanks, weren't they, you know? And I remember, well, I'd crawl over the back seat, go into the next seat, so I could be looking that way, you know, looking backwards. And man, I'd be, you know, doing all kinds of things, making funny faces at people, whatever, you know, and pulling my sister's hair, trying to get her straightened out, but doing all kinds of things. But this man, they were driving down the road, they had a large family. His wife was sitting in the front seat with her little newborn baby. And someone came up behind them and rear-ended them and shot that baby through the windshield. And it died. He said to me, and I remember him telling me the story. He used to go with me to the Bible clubs in Illinois when I had them there. And he would go with me. And everybody called him Grandpa. He had a white beard. Christmas time, we called him Santa Claus, you know. But anyway, I remember him telling me this. He said, when that happened, and he was a Catholic, and he said, the priest never came to see me. He said, no one came. He said, we were hopeless. We were lost. We were just lonely, and we had no answers. And he said, it was that time in my life when I knew that there had to be something more. He said, I knew that there had to be something. And he says, he remembers praying and saying, God, show me the way. Well, guess what? One day, as a crane operator, he found a radio station where J. Vernon McGee was preaching on the radio, and where Oliver B. Green used to preach. And he began to listen, and he began to understand this is truth. And he began to read the Bible, and he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. His wife got saved. His children got saved. His grandchildren have been saved. Extended family. He's a first generation Christian. Can I tell you, he has been found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ because God allowed a shocking tragedy. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. God knows something about you and me. If we are not found sitting at his feet, we will destroy our lives. We will waste our lives in selfishness and self-consuming. But if we are found sitting at the feet of Jesus, we are found waiting on him. Think of the man, the maniac of Gadara. He was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, looking to Jesus. Jesus, teach me. Jesus, show me how to be the kind of man that I need to be. He was waiting on the Lord to direct him. And then when Jesus got up to leave, he got up to follow him. He said, Jesus, I'm going with you. I love you. You changed my life. You see, there is a man found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. What is God using tonight to bring you to his feet? What is God using in your family? And what is God using maybe in your personal life to cause you to come to where you find that Jesus is the only person that you need? You see, tonight, if we could find something else to help us, we'll find something else. If we can find another Savior, we'll find that. But brother, when it comes down to it's just you and Jesus Christ, that is where God wants to bring us. You know, God is able to take even the darkest hours of your life and my life and make that the greatest time in our life. You know why? Because if he uses that to bring you to himself, it is the greatest thing in your life. Because, brethren, I'm going to tell you this. I've met people before, and people have had an impact and a change in my life. But, brethren, it is Jesus Christ. He is the one. He is perfect. He is sinless. He is righteous. He is just. He is holy. He is Jesus Christ. And where we need to be found tonight is sitting at his feet. You know, God often enlarges our hearts by breaking them. He often does things in our life to make us more like him. And brethren, when we get to the point of desperation for Jesus, and that's where God wants to bring us, like I talked about this morning. Can I tell you, when we get to the point of desperation, I'm going to tell you what it does. It enables us to understand how passive we have really been about seeking Jesus Christ. You know something? I think sometimes we don't even know how cold, complacent, and passive we have been about seeking Jesus and spending time with him in his word and spending time in prayer and loving him and knowing him. We're consumed with so many other things when what the Lord wants for you and me tonight is to be found sitting at his feet. Sometimes it takes a shocking tragedy. Take your Bibles. I want you to go to Acts chapter number 4, and I want to show you this to you. Acts chapter number 4, and brethren, the Lord loves us tonight. He loves us enough to know that we must be found sitting at His feet. And God, in His love and in His care, often allows hurtful things in your life and in my life to bring us to His feet. You say, but Pastor, I don't understand that. The Lord has allowed things in my life that hurt and things that are tragic, but yet the loving hand of an almighty God is behind that to bring you to His feet, to break you per se, to humble you per se, to cause you to see yourself for as you really are. Look, it is against our human nature to be found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. We want to do things our way, our power. We've got our will and our way to be done. But if you're sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, you have surrendered to your will. Acts chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 31, would you notice this? Well, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 4, let's look in verse number 13. Acts chapter 4. In verse number 13, the Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them." Look at this last little phrase, "that they had been with Jesus." You know what they noticed about these disciples? Now, Peter and John, they were not learned like the other scholars of the day, the other theologians of the day. Peter and John were just fishermen. They were just common, ordinary men. But when they heard these men preach and they saw their life, they marveled. They said, wait a minute. These guys didn't go to school with us. These guys weren't in the same class with us. But they took knowledge of them and they saw their boldness and they said, oh, I know what it is. They've been with Jesus. They have been at His feet. They have been learning from Jesus. Can I ask you something tonight? Are you learning from Jesus Christ? Are you sitting at His feet? Are you coming before Him daily and moment by moment and saying, Jesus, teach me today. Lord, show me the path. And Lord, show me what needs to change in my life. Teach me. I am sitting at Your feet. You are the teacher and I am the student. And I'm waiting on You to guide me and to direct me. But the problem with you and me is that we want to teach. We want to tell God, in a sense, what to do. We want to tell Him what needs to be done. But when we are found sitting at His feet, that's the place where God wants us. Sometimes it takes a shocking tragedy. Number two, sometimes it takes sin's awakening. Now, I'm going to say this to you tonight. I pray that you'll hear me out. If you and I could see our self-life, I'm talking about exalting self, playing God, everything about our self-life, if we could see it like God sees it, it would make us sick. I mean that. If I could see myself, and I'm talking about all of us have that self, and by the way, what is self? It's selfish. Self wants its way. Self doesn't want to die. Self wants its will to be done. Self wants to be taken care of. Self has emotions and feelings, and you have hurt my feelings and emotions. It's all self. Self-exaltation and lifting up self. If we could see it like God sees it, it'd make us sick. And if I could see it in my life like God sees it, it would make us sick. I mean, let's just be honest. Self doesn't want God. Self doesn't want to pray. Self doesn't want to go to church. Self doesn't want to read the Bible. Self wants itself to be number one. That's why Paul said, yet not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. self, when we die to ourself, we yield to Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, when sin is awakened and we see our sin, it brings us to the feet of Jesus Christ. When that maniac of Gadara, oh, I believe that there was a lot that went on with him and Jesus. But when he saw himself, I think he looked at himself and said, "Look at me. Look at me, what sin has done." And it was his own choice and his own decisions. Sin's awakening brings us to the feet of Jesus. The greatest example that I can give of this is the example of David in God's Word. Boy, David had lived in sin, had he not? David had sinned against God. He had lusted after another woman, another man's wife, and he took her. He stole something from her and stole from that man. David committed adultery with her, and then a child is going to be born. And David tries to hide and cover his sin. And David has that man killed. He murdered Bathsheba's husband. And then David marries Bathsheba. Now the baby's going to be born. He's covered it all up. And David, for many months, lived with unconfessed sin in his life. It was pride, and David was not found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you what happened? Finally, David had to deal with his sin. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Samuel chapter number 12, and I want to show this to you. 2 Samuel chapter number 12, would you notice this? Brethren, when a man or woman realizes how much they are a sinner, and how terrible their sin is in the sight of God, they will fall down at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know what our problem is? Is that we just don't think our sin is really that bad. That's really my problem and all of our problem. I mean, we're pretty good people. We think pretty good about our life. But if you want to know how evil sin is, then look at Calvary. Because sin is what nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. But we just don't see our sin that way. We think we're pretty good and we do better than the neighbor and we do better than so-and-so. And, you know, it's okay. But brethren, the wrath of God was poured out upon Jesus because of my sin and because of your sin. Think of that. The wrath of God. And you say, "Well, Pastor, we're saved tonight. We know Jesus Christ is our Savior." Yes. And because of Christ's death and shed blood and resurrection, we have made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But brethren, even as God's people, we still sin. Now, we will not stand before God to give payment for any of our sin. We will not have to pay the penalty of our sin. But brethren, are we at His feet? 2 Samuel chapter 12, look what the Bible says in verse number 13. The Bible says this, 2 Samuel chapter 12. In verse 13, the Bible says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth." Can I tell you that David was awakened by his sin? Why didn't David do this before? Why didn't David come before God before the child was ever struck with sickness? Why didn't David? Because we want to cover our sin. We want to hide our sin. It's natural to do that. It's kind of like the little child that has been in the cookie jar and he's got chocolate all over his face. And his face is blushed and his mom says, "Did you eat some cookies?" And with crumbs falling out of his mouth, he says, "No, it wasn't me." And he tries to hide it. We laugh about that. But brethren, do you understand that's how it is before us and God? God knows what we do. God knows the very thoughts that we think. God knows our heart. And brethren, being found sitting at the feet of Jesus has more to do with your heart than it does with your body. It is about our heart condition tonight. And if my heart is not right, I'm not going to be sitting at His feet. in submission and waiting upon Him in quietness and allowing the Lord to change me and seeking His will and His direction. David, all night long, he laid before the Lord, fasting and praying. You want to know what the prayer is? You can read it on your own. It's found in Psalm chapter 51. And in Psalm 51, that's the prayer that David prayed that night as he sought God. Guess what God did? God awakened him to his senses. I've seen men before at the church that I grew up at Temple Baptist Church. I've seen men, that some of them get mad at the preacher. And boy, the devil works hard at that, does he not? But I've seen men walk the aisle and hug my pastor and weep with tears and saying, I don't know what got over me. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Can I tell you what happened to them? They were awakened by their sin. God woke them up and said, don't you see what you're doing? The path that you're on, it's going to destroy you. And brethren, tonight, God wants to wake us up. God wants to shake us and say, son, daughter, I love you. But you cannot live this way. You're going to destroy every good thing that I have for you. Oh, God wants us to be found sitting at His feet. Number three, what does it take? Sometimes it takes a shocking tragedy. Sometimes it takes sin's awakening. But it should only take, this is it, the Savior's love. That's it. Take your Bibles in closing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to show this to you. Brethren, tonight, what will it take for you? It should just take the Savior's love. It should just take that when we are basking in the love of God, and God's love has gotten a hold of us, we should be found sitting at His feet. We should be found. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says this. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The love of Christ constraineth us. The word constrain, it's a word we don't use much today, but it literally means to be in a narrow channel, and where it is so narrow that you are walking and you're in a narrow path. And the ideal is that God's love has gotten such a hold of you. Not your love for God, but God's love for you. His care for you, His compassion for you. And brethren, the problem is tonight, so many of us, including myself at times, we are not getting in the Word of God to such an extent to where we see the love of God for us. If you could see God's love for you tonight, if you could understand it, and you'll see it through the pages of Scripture. And as you spend time in prayer, listen, God wraps His holy, everlasting arms around you, and He surrounds you with His love. When the love of God gets a hold of us and we see what God has done for us in giving His own Son, Jesus Christ, but day by day He watches over us, and day by day He is our shepherd, and day by day He guides us and directs us. If we could see it tonight, it would make us say, I've got to serve the Lord. I've got to live for Him. I can't do anything else. I want to live for Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. The love of Christ constraineth us. Tonight, right now, I want to ask you a question. You're sitting in a pew tonight, but with your heart condition tonight, can it be said of you that you are found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ? I'm afraid there's some times in my life when I'm not found sitting at His feet. I'm found running around. I'm found pacing, worried about something. I'm found upset about something. When the ideal is, look at that man. Look at the man at Gadara. Look at that maniac. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Look at Jairus. He falls down at Jesus' feet. Look at the woman with the issue of blood, the woman who's been separated from her family. Look at her. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. You may be classified as the maniac of Gadara tonight. You might be the desperate father named Jairus, or you might be the woman with the issue of blood. Whoever you are tonight, we need to come and sit at Jesus' feet and say, Jesus, teach me. Jesus, show me what is wrong in my life. Lord Jesus, give me direction. I'll follow you. You're going to leave. I'm leaving with you. Jesus, lead me. What will it take in your life to be found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ? Let us come and let us sit at His feet. On Thursday night, we were finished at the camp, and I had preached that message on Let God Write Your Story, and I had a giant pencil. I mean, it was huge. And on the pencil, it said, Let God Write Your Story. And I use it just as an illustration to, sometimes it helps kids to be able to see things. And after the service, I was standing in the back with my wife, and some little kids came up, and so sweet and kind, and they said, Hey, Pastor, is that pencil real? And I said, It's real. They said, You mean you could write with it? And I said, Yeah, you could write with it. They said, I want to write with it. So I was holding a paper in the back, and they had this giant, I mean, I'm telling you, the pencil's like 5 foot tall. It's huge. And they were writing with this pencil there. And then a bunch of others came around. Hey, let me write with it. Let me write with it. And they were writing their name with the pencil and all of that. And then I said, All right, let's take a picture together. So we all took a picture. You know something? The thought that I have in my mind with those little kids there, and they were just there. In a sense, they were wanting to learn, wanting to grow. And I thought to myself, Lord, make me a little child to where I will come and say, Jesus, I want to learn how to live like you. Jesus, I want to learn how to love people like you love people. Jesus, I want to learn how to have compassion like you have compassion. Jesus, I want to learn how to live pleasing to the Heavenly Father like you live pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Brethren, that's where Jesus wants all of us tonight, sitting at His feet. Doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are tonight. You know what God wants for you? And where the only place of blessing and peace is sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.